Shalom lachem.
Hello. Thank you for being with us here on the New Life Educational Series with Dr. Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. Hello, Nitza Mazuz. Hello. And today we want to take a journey with you to the story of Job, of the human suffering. Some of us suffer more, some of us suffer less, and we'll take this journey not to just have a debate here in the studio, but to see how we can actually take our lives, each of us as an individual and all of us together as one society, as Israeli society that wants to build itself as one family according to the vision of Dr. Lightman toward a new horizon, a new life. The story itself is less interesting. What's more interesting to us are the questions that come up from there, luck, destiny, all kinds of fascinating issues. You'll go with us step by step, and we'll surely have a lot to learn and to take for our actual life. Nitza, take us into the story of Job. The story briefly describes a person who's naive and straight, and even though he's a good person, one day a bunch of disasters fall on top of him, one after the other. The first disaster, a person comes to him and says that there's a group of robbers who came and took his cattle and killed the workers. And he's talking, the second one comes and says, lightning, God's fire came and burnt the sheep and also the shepherds. The third comes and announces that another group of robbers came and stole the camels and killed the guards. And then the most bitter message comes, that a wind came and knocked down his house and killed his 10 children that were in the house. Job hears this chain of events, one after the other, and what he says, I came out of my mother's womb naked, and I will return naked. God gave, and God takes. God's name be blessed. That's how the story begins. So perhaps the first question that comes up for any of us, is there destiny? Is there fate? What is destiny? What is fate? And is there fate? That's the question. I don't know if there is. It's a question that lots of people deal with. What do you think about it? Is there fate? Isn't there fate? How do you relate to it? What happened to him? Was it written in advance that it would happen? Is there a permanent plan in advance? With all due respect to him, we're more... I want to answer this slightly in a slightly different manner. There's no randomness. What does that mean? If there's no randomness, what is there? There's forces of nature that are operating on each and every part of creation and all of creation. The general force, individual forces, private forces of this general force on all the material and parts of creation, which are parts of the general material. And it's advancing more and more and more, as we see in the general evolution. So you're identifying with his response. After all these blows fall on him, you can't even imagine such a more gruesome chain of events. All his assets and his children, his responses, I came out of my mother's womb naked, and I will return naked. God given and God takes. He's like agreeing. It's some sort of type of agreement with these forces that came and did what they did. Correct. So now you can relate to them how you want. But first of all, you have to agree with it, that it's not just blind fate, but rather it's a process that's going through all of creation and on myself. And this process is just a combination of forces. As one process, many forces that are operating in this manner, and I'm in this process, I now went through my part. part, it's you feel that it's the forces of nature are operating. But still, there's an expression, a very well-known expression, that says everything is written, but there's still something you can do. If there's a plan that everything is decided in advance, what can we do? In us, we have the ability. Compared to inanimate, vegetative, animate, we are the human species, and we have an ability to connect between us, to reach a general connection between us, in which we will won't be the actual part of nature, and in this we can neutralize all the bad development, and all the development that is coming will go through us in a positive manner. So you mean our ability is to change our attitude, not just our inner attitude, but it's also actually all of nature is one. We've spoken about that a lot. And humanity inside this nature represents some bad element because we are in this conflict of materials. We hate each other. We're distancing ourselves from each other. We're in conflicts, wars, all kinds of things. If we see nature, we're only harming it. And if this is so, then everything that's happening in a bad way and not a good way, it's because we are taking this development in an incorrect manner. If we would accept this development as pushing us toward more connection, toward greater connection, to debate, to participation, to mutual responsibility, then of course we would receive all those same forces that are developing us in a pleasant manner. And in this we have a sanction. Development has to be, the forces has to have to operate on us, but we are not suited to those same forces. And that's why we receive them in a negative manner against our desire, our understanding, and our acts, also in our acts, our thoughts, and everything. And then it turns out that all of development, we see even now on ourselves, that all our development is for the worse. Each from year to year, we feel ourselves more and more bad. More harming and more harmful. It's interesting that you're speaking about the fact that evolution or development is advancing us to a connection, to connect to good relations between one another, which is the place. The goal is to bring all of creation, all of nature into balance. Everything like we see in micro, all these things come into balance. Why does wind come? To balance the pressures. Where does heat and cold come from? You open a window, it's hot outside and it's cold inside, so there's some kind of balance between the cold inside and the heat outside. The balancing the pressures inside a person, nature is attracted to balance. If we are not attracted to balance with nature, us ourselves, then we are causing with that all of nature on the whole planet is going out of balance. Because a person is higher than inanimate, vegetative, animate, we're harming the ecology and also our lives. We're harming our destiny. So instead of developing in a good direction toward connection, toward a good attitude, to define ourselves as the understanding, the part that's organizing nature and everything that's on the planet, we're acting in the opposite manner, according to our inner urges. And in this manner, we're each time we're in conflict with nature more and more as time goes by. This process is accumulating, and then the disaster comes. It accumulates some more, and then a disaster comes. And also these disasters, you're talking about disasters that are general and also private? Yes, the natural disasters or wars that we're doing and all kinds of epidemics, but also in a person's private life. In other words, you're relating to each blow that comes. It doesn't matter what blow it is, doesn't matter who, what level, altogether as an expression of the lack of general imbalance and with this trend of developing toward connection, harmony between all the parts, and then the lack of balance brings some kind of blow. It's interesting to see in the story of Job, they're not taking someone who's one of the negative people inside that society, but they're emphasizing that he's naive, he's straight, he's God-fearing, he's honest, he's one of the good guys. Not just good, he's maybe even the best of that same era. They're giving him to teach us something. And what do they want to show us in that? That precisely him, that person, everything is okay with him. There's no bad with him. It's all good. He gets another blow, another blow, another blow. And even, I want to add to that, that this story of Job emphasizes that it's not as simple as it looks, but there's something much more sophisticated. There's some kind of struggle. There's some kind of bet between God and Satan. It's like he's looking at humans and saying, let's take Job. Satan says, you think he's good, that he's whole with you, and it's only because he's rich and has abundance and he's thriving. Let's start giving him blows, and let's see where he gets to. That's where it begins. And then that poor Job, scene after scene comes, and there's always this dialogue between Satan and God to see how he reacts. It's like some little animal that you keep hitting. Now I'm going back to your explanation. You said that altogether the lack of balance is what's bringing the blows on a person. Job, if he's looking at the world around him, I'm sure he's seeing lots of lack of balance. But if he's looking at his own life, a person who's straight and honest, he can't find in his life the lack of balance. What does it come to teach us? That precisely he gets all the blows and he becomes the symbol of, in all the generations, of the height of human suffering. Why do they do it to the good guy? I think if you go out to the street now and start asking people, you know, sometimes they go around with a microphone, everyone will be at the level of Job, like it says at the beginning, straight, honest, everything's fine, not me, I'm a decent citizen, etc. You're saying every person relates to his person as himself as good? Yes, that's what it comes to teach us, that this is the sensation each person has towards himself? Correct. But there's a blow here in a private manner on something that's like general. He's being punished for something that's general. He's getting the blow personally when there's some general lack of balance. In general, nobody feels what's happening in general. As far as I'm concerned, the world can blow up. The main thing is that I'll feel good and I won't feel it. I'm prepared to be on some little private island in some ocean, huge ocean of fire, and I don't care about anything. That's how Job also relates to it. So he's only looking, actually, this is what the writing is also emphasizing. He's like an island of positive. He has everything. I'm innocent. I'm righteous. His life is good. And now when the bad comes, he also says, Baruch Hashem. He continues justifying God. God gave, God took. Everything's fine. God's name is blessed. At the end of the day, he sees these things as the upper force, and that he in that cannot intervene in any matter. In any manner. In other words, he's pretty stupid, I would say. Why? Because it's like, what there is, there is. What there isn't, there isn't. I can't do anything. I think that happens also in the world today, and each person in the street. If you go out and talk to people, you'll say, is there a crisis? Yes. Is there a change of climate? Yes. Is it dangerous? Yes. all these things, see how much these people are unemployed, how many people are sick, how many are divorced, how many kids are getting thrown into the street. Everything's correct. Baruch Hashem. Thank God. What thank God? What thank God? Where are you? How are you? Innocent. Thank God that's how you relate to it? That's how it should be? That's the question. Therefore, we need to continue giving him suffering to Job. Yes, of course. So he'll change his attitude to life. We see here a prototype of every person in the world. That's how you'll see on the street. I see each and every person is built in that manner. It says that there was no such thing as this great suffering of Job. There was no such thing. It's true, but that it hasn't happened, that it won't happen in the future, if we relate to reality in this manner. I can't say about everything. The problem is like this. The fact that I can say that everything is in the hands of the upper force, where's the other half? Where am I? He's deleting himself from any responsibility. He doesn't want to recognize that there's some type of his participation, that it only depends on him, that he did, that there's no divine plan, nature, that I'm in it as an element. I'm a factor. I'm a factor in nature. The lack of balance with nature, I'm the one causing it. So it's not enough to say to me, this is how I was born, this is how I will die, and everything ends there. No, it's not correct. He precisely, you asked about fate. He believes in fate. The blind fate or whatever, upper fate, whatever you want to call it, but it's fate. Everything is given. That's it. In other words, whoever believes in destiny is someone that believes that everything is written and he has no permission to do anything. He makes himself simply, he makes himself at the animal level. These are levels that develop by God or by nature. It's one and the same. And this nature pushes them to some kind of development and evolution. And that's where they are. They have nothing in them. At any moment in life, they choose what's better, what's worse, in some small manner, and what he has in front of him, and that's how he gets along. But altogether, this plan is not mine. It is, leave me alone. What do you want from me? I'm a little guy. I'm a simple citizen. I'm innocent. I have, thank God, a sheep, camels, women, children. That's it. I don't want to know anything else. That's not enough. That's not enough. Because you don't want to lift your head up, and you are a person, Adam, similar to the Creator, and you have to therefore take what's coming, what you need to organize in creation. You need to organize it. What do you mean organize in creation? That same balance that we spoke of, that you must change your nature in accordance with the general nature. What does this mean? That the evil inclination a person is born with, you hate everyone, you reject everyone, you're in competition with everyone, you don't care. Even though you're not doing bad to anyone, you don't care that others are in a bad situation. You're not concerned that everyone will feel good. You're not carrying out love thy neighbor as thyself. So until you can't disregard this. You're in a framework where you have to carry these rules out. You have evil inclination. You were born opposite to bestowal and love and connection and mutual responsibility, and you must reach all these things, bestow all to others, don't do to your friend as you wouldn't want done to yourself, love thy brother as thyself. You have to reach it whether you like it or not. The fact that you're making an idiot out of yourself, it's not enough. You can't turn around and say, I'm fine. Well, according to what is he okay? It's written like that. Because in his eyes, he's okay. So how can you explain until a person feels himself responsible for the entire world, he's not okay? So how are there gaps? Why does it say, love thy neighbor as thyself? You need to reach a state where you're connected to the whole world, that you're responsible for the whole world. Of course, it's a gradual situation, process, and we need to reach him gradually throughout our development, but this is what we need to do. We need to connect all of society to one, and all of society with nature, inanimate, vegetative, animate, and it will all be one integral element. As we see now from nature, that is demonstrating to us that it's all connected. I would like us to advance in this discussion about Job. There's another aspect, a central aspect in the story that's not in other biblical stories, and here we have a star, the Satan, and here they came to God, and also the devil came, and then there's this whole dialogue between Satan and God. What is the story of Satan? It's our evil desire that's against everyone. The Satan is someone that sits in me, the person's inclination. It is written, the evil inclination that is in a person, it's the angel of death. It's interesting because usually we are inclined to think that Satan is some upper force. What upper? Why shouldn't it be upper? I was born like this. He's in front of me. The evil inclination is from birth. Wait, we're running too fast. Let's go one by one. I would even say that he's more than God. But what is he? He's stronger than God. What is Satan? I don't understand. There's in nature, there's 4 degrees, inanimate, vegetative, animate, human. The power that operates the first three, it's the good power because they're in harmony, in balance. They don't do bad to one another. If they do bad to each other, it's because the forces of nature are operating on them in this manner. They're not doing bad to one another. The snake, the alligator, doesn't matter who, nobody wants to cause bad to the other. Only for the sake of survival they operate. The lion ate, and it doesn't matter who walks by him now, he won't touch them. Because he's satiated, meaning in these first 3 degrees, animate, vegetative and animate, what manages them is the positive forces. Let's call it God. In the part, in the speaking, human part of nature, there, the bad force operates. Man's inclination is evil from birth. Evil inclination is always pushing a person all day long to all kinds of evil things to other people. What does this mean? If the animal level does not want to hurt others, but only to fill himself. A person, it's not enough for him to want to fill himself. He also enjoys filling himself by harming others, meaning I have a bad, evil connection with others. It's not enough for me to take from you your watch, your ring, your nice glasses. It's not enough for me to take it because I want it. It's not because I need it, but rather I'm enjoying it that you don't have those things. Where does this come? It comes from a feeling of others, that I feel you. The fact that I feel you, it's not that I want you to feel good. I want you to feel bad, and in that I'll feel good. This feeling is only inside people. When we look at animals and we see how they pray, how they eat, they don't feel others. An animal doesn't feel the other. He eats the other. You can see in movies. You can see that a lion jumps on some deer or something, but he has no attitude toward it, that he wants to harm it or not. It's us conveying to them in all kinds of stories. We're transferring our feelings to them. They look at it like a piece of meat that's running away from them. They don't understand that she's living and she has her own life and kids and offspring, etc. No. For him, it's simply like we go to the supermarket to buy a piece of meat. That's how he looks, how I can now take from the supermarket, that's all of nature, this piece of meat that I deserve and only. But when I come to nature, I enjoy also from the attitude. I can't relate to nature just by taking, and that's it. I enjoy in connection to the things that I'm in touch with. So it turns out that I never enjoy from the thing itself, but rather what I'm causing through it. And it turns out that I don't need your ring, and I don't need your watch, and I don't need your glasses, but I feel bad that you have them, and I'll feel good if you won't have them. Therefore, I'm taking them. The attitude to others, to your fellow man, that a person has, it brings a person to a state where they enjoy the deficiency of others. They enjoy the suffering of others. In that, he raises himself up. He fills himself. And this is actually Satan? Yes. That's Satan. That's called evil inclination. And when they struggle there in this whole dialogue that's in the background of the story, God and Satan, what does it come to tell us? That Satan sits inside a person. This is our nature. And God is the external nature, apparently, that is not in me. It's in the first three degrees, inanimate, vegetative, animate, and it doesn't exist in a person because only a person is born with evil inclination. I'm born from the beginning with evil inclination. This is how I was born. This is how I exist only. You can see this in kids that start to grow up. 2, 3, 4, 5. And then they start to be a person. Why? Because he starts to lie, starts to steal. He's already working with his brain, with his sophistication, to profit, to fill this inclination. Inclination means desire. Evil inclination, why evil? Because he wants to have in both hands. Give him some toy and the other a toy. No, he wants to have both. Clearly, you can see it all the time. Now, this sensation, we're obligated to transform to the good inclination, to participation as yourself, meaning that if I, like a little child, I grab two toys together, and don't give the other. I now need both of them. I need to give them to the other, not one by one, because it says as you. Now, like I love myself and I want to swallow the whole world. And the rest of the people, zero. Oh, I'm enjoying the fact that they have nothing. Not the fact that I have, the fact that they have nothing. Yes? Right. And I have to transform my nature. Is it possible? Let's see Job. So Job gets that same strength. Job, he's naive, innocent. He has everything. You said it correctly. So in what is he so innocent? God, thank God he has everything. Now you took everything from me, and I also agree with that. People, and we see it in our world as well. There's many people that when they lose everything, some curse destiny, and some say there's nothing you can do. It's fate. And does that make them righteous? You implemented the thought of creation, this process that nature is leading you toward. Did you correct anything in the world? Did you cause anything good in the world? So we were demanded to be active, to do things, and you defined it as love thy neighbor as thyself. So now, of course, so don't say love thy neighbor as thyself. Say the perfect balance between everyone. So that same Satan, love thy neighbor as thyself, it's like you can, it's nice, it's not nice. We're not talking about nice. We're talking about laws of nature, balance. So how can you explain to me this manipulation that the Satan is doing to God and saying, giving him another blow, another blow. You just took his money, give him another blow, his kids, his this, his that. Because it stems from the same plan that nature is leading us toward. We're advancing all the time. We're growing. Our desire is always increasing. It's always developing. It's always becoming more and more evil, demanding more and more. That's how we exist in the world. Yes or no? Do you mean that from generation to generation we want more and more and more to swallow everything? Okay, good. So we're developing. Are we throughout the generations reaching some correction? What do you mean correction? Correcting the bad in us. Are we reaching something good? I'm simply always going with Satan. Satan is pushing me to all kinds of things. I see the global escalating ammunition, the lies, the sneakiness. There's more and more and more. Am I doing anything against it? No. I'm flowing inside this bad river that's taking me to where it's taking me to. I have no idea, and I'm agreeing with it. And I'm saying the fact that I'm flowing with it, I'm a civil citizen, I'm a good citizen. You said something before that was very strong. You said that even the Satan, his power might even be stronger than the good power. And when we look at the world, it really looks like that today, that the bad has overcome the good. How is it possible? Because we're not completing the bad. By transforming the bad to good, this will bring us to the degree of God, where we will see and know all of nature. We will be in our behavior, in our wisdom, in the relations between us. Our whole life will be in the best possible degree, but we're not doing it. Now the story continues. The Job is sitting Shiva, and his three friends come to they can feel better, and through that there's a discussion. They're saying, his friends say to him, you must have done something bad. It's not for nothing that you received these blows. You must have done some sin. And Job says he doesn't accept it under any circumstances. He says, I'm righteous. It's not clear to me where these blows came from except from my fate. And these bad friends represent some question that we ask ourselves today. Did I myself, personally, did I do something bad and because of that I received these blows? Or is it something else? Nature in general, the general law, doesn't ask us, what did you do or what didn't you do? The fate that we feel, that for all bad we need good and etc., it doesn't work according to this equation. If from the beginning we say that a person's inclination is evil from birth, then I'm already in the beginning at a negative accounting. You mean that the things that his friends are saying, we see it in the continuation of the story, that God is mad at them. In other words, we understand from the story that the things that they are saying to him, the attempt to for a person to find something in himself, what he did, then he's making up all kinds of equations that according to this or this, you have to behave like this. And he doesn't go to research nature properly. He doesn't take into account love thy neighbor as thyself. Operates on him. He is obligated to reach that. But he makes up all kinds of philosophies that this is better and this is like that. So I don't understand where this bad is coming from and makes up all kinds of laws. In our world, we have laws for behaving, culture, laws, courthouses, lawyers. We make up all kinds of laws for ourselves. How to behave in the family and society, with nature, for each and everything. Where are these laws coming from? Are they based on our understanding, our knowledge of nature? Are they based on good? But we just know, just because we feel like it. And usually people made them up, people who are sitting in some place where they feel like from all kinds of things that they, all kinds of accounting between them, they made up all kinds of rules, and this is how we behave. If we're building our environment in this way instead of love thy neighbor as thyself, can afterwards we say we're okay? I'm a good citizen. Based on what? Even if you carried out all the things that are written, you should do as a citizen, but who wrote it for you? Where did he write those things from? Where did he write all those rules of the country, the world? Based on what? In other words, from the beginning, we're in a crooked spot in the way we relate to one another. And afterwards, we don't know where this fate, we don't understand where it's coming from. But it's us doing it ourselves. How can we, people who understand slightly that we're in a system of laws, forces of nature, how can we be so bold as to start? It's from our evil inclination, after all. We're making up all these laws of behavior and saying, this is okay, this is how we'll behave. Nature behaves in this manner. Did you research nature? Did you bring something sure? Something pure, true, that this is how it exists, or you just feel like saying like this based on your urges. So truly, we're like kids in a kindergarten making up all kinds of laws, and outside, there's completely different relations. And in that, we're causing bad to everyone, to ourselves, and to all the degrees of nature, inanimate, vegetative, animate. And even if some volcano blows up or some tsunami comes, today we're beginning to understand that apparently we're causing it. Even though it's still hard to grasp it, and he doesn't want to grasp it, and that's why he doesn't hear about it. He doesn't want to hear about it. So, From where does this ridiculousness come from that God gave, God took, God gave, God took, thank God, there's nothing I can do. It's even worse. Even for the future, I feel myself that I'm righteous and I'm justified. I take the destiny the way it comes from above, and I have no participation in it whatsoever. So how can additional problems not come now? When the additional problems come, more problems and more problems, in the end, he reaches a situation where he curses the day he was born. And the sensation of it's better to die than to live. Lots of people identify with it. Sometimes so many blows come, another one, and you say, it's a pity that I'm alive. A lot of people in the world feel like that at the moment. So what? What do you think about this thought, this feeling that a person goes through, a person as a result of him getting these blows until he wants to blow up? It's an escape from the goal. Escape from responsibility, and he still doesn't want to hear. We need to organize public opinion, help people listen, that there's a goal, and we need to arrange our lives, and everything is in his hands. Everything is in his hands, a person's hands. It's not blind fate, and it's not fate. But you are organizing the forces that are given to you that are always causing you bad. And if a person doesn't want to accept it, that these bad forces are coming toward him as a reaction from the previous way you related to things to bring you toward good. What you caused until now is one thing. Now you are in the bad feeling. Get this bad feeling as an invitation, as a call. The saying, listen, buddy, it's enough. Understand that it's not blind faith, that there's laws in nature. It's not random, but rather your behavior must change. We have an inclination, us, to think that there's like if I did something bad, apparently I must have done something bad. And you're describing some system. You're not looking at the individual, the private fate of a person, but rather the fate of the society. It's hard to see it according to the individual fate because we're short-sighted. There's evil people who are happy. If I see in my egoistic eyes, yes, then I see a person is enjoying his whole life, cheating everyone, stealing, robbing. He's enjoying as the whole world, and he dies, and everyone say what a righteous person he was. Now the question is, can I take an example from him or not? Of course not. Because it's the private life of one person, I can't take an example from there. But to truly understand what's happening, I need to do research about nature. And to understand the forces that are in a person compared to an animate, vegetative animate, how a person is different, that he has the evil inclination, this additional evil toward his fellow man. We are animals, but we have this addition in these animals called humans. We have this addition, and it's our bad attitude toward one another. Let's say you have some house. How can we say a flock? Between all the lions, there's a band. And they treat everything bad. It's not that they go somewhere where there's no one and they sit down. They want to take everyone's place. Of the still, not that they want to kill some forest or other species. They want to harm even the ones that are similar to them, which doesn't exist usually in nature. Usually in nature, animals that come together, they want to show who's stronger or less in power, but they don't damage one another. You know that? Let's say two bears come together, each one is a ton. Neither of them take out their nails. They really don't. They just want to show one another. They come with their horns and they never harm each other. They never damage each other, even though one is very strong and the other isn't. No. They just want to show one another who's stronger, to move him aside, to take his niche that suits him inside all these opportunities. It's a verification. It's not a struggle. It's not cruel the way we want to see with our ego. It's just to arrange each person, each one in his place, to not harm the other. You can see it really clearly. I usually watch short films about nature. It's incredible to watch. There's no evil toward one another. And what about us? I want to kill him. I enjoy the fact that he's feeling bad. I feel good that he is, that I pushed him, that I trampled him, that he's less than me. He has to feel that he's down there in some place and I'm up here. I receive pleasure from this. I have no choice. I can't get rid of this attitude to life. We even don't understand how much it manages us in every aspect. Is that why we receive the blows? Is that what you're trying to hint? Yes, of course. And not just to us, but all of creation. We are the upper part of inanimate, vegetative, animate, human. And because of us humans, the other three are suffering. So how do you answer when a person asks, why is it happening to me? It's happening to you because you don't understand how to bring yourself into balance. That's why it is happening. And therefore, Job, what's the story? If you don't take this entire process in your hands and you don't understand it, and you won't understand how much you are need to be involved in this in a logical, correct, rational manner, then these blows will not leave you, because their entire purpose is to awaken you to correction. That's it. There's no other accounting. The Satan is in you. And if you didn't understand it yet, then suffer some more. And if you still don't understand, suffer more until you understand how you need to work with it. So you're saying there's a term that's called, there's a book up there, there's no private accounting. There's also private accounting, but we can't see it because it's spread out over thousands of years. It's like looking at like a chapter in a series and not understanding what happened before, of course. There's an expression about suffering and how we relate to it, that a person must bless the bad just like he blesses the good. And you're talking about each thing that's happening, there's no blind fate. Each thing that comes, it's a sign that you need to understand, to take yourself in your hands and bring yourself into balance. Now, these signs, take yourself in your hands and bring yourself into balance, they come in my life only when I receive blows or also when I succeed. What I'm trying to understand is what's the logic that the wise ones said that a person needs to bless the bad like he blesses the good. Like there's not even such a difference between them if you got bad or good. The main thing is your reaction. A person has to react. There's something a little bit masochistic. What does that mean? God forbid, let's not look at money, because money you can solve it, it's material and that's it. But 10 of his children were killed. Let's go out of the story. Let's imagine a person that, God forbid, this happened to him, such a disaster. Not 10 kids, somebody in a car accident, the whole family was wiped out. What they're saying is not just so we'll just chat here in the studio. They're really teaching an approach to life, like you say. Don't disregard it. Come out of your wherever you're floating along, and the person got a blow and his whole family was killed. What does it mean he needs to bless this bed, just like we relate to it? I grew up as a result of the Holocaust, and I lived after the Holocaust where big kids would live it. For them, it was really in the home, in the yard, in the city. It was really, it had passed, and we don't know what to do with it. And I see that people still continue the same life. They get up in the morning, again, place themselves in life toward themselves, toward nature, toward everything, just like their urge, without making any proper accounting. You mean to bless the bad like the good? No, to understand first and foremost that what comes to teach us something. That's called blessing, to understand that it didn't come randomly, but to teach me something. There was a period before the Holocaust, let's say, or some other blow. I need to check. There was a period like this. I didn't do something, and therefore the blow came. And now the blow comes. It has to teach me so that the next blow doesn't come, that after this blow, I can somehow change my behavior. What do I need to change? I didn't see that after the Holocaust, some global committee, or even among the Jews, who that began to research why it happened, why and what's happening, etc. No. But how can we arrange ourselves in all kinds of places as good as possible? And what about a person's private level? A person got a blow that his whole family is wiped out. And he continues. I'm not asking what he does, though. I'm asking what he should do according to this approach, that a person needs to bless the good and the bad. I got a blow. I can't talk about a private person that doesn't understand anything. I'm flowing with all the insight that you set up till now. If we're in a situation where it's clear to us the goal of creation, and if we're now, I'm talking about this moment, I'm not going back, if we're talking about a situation where it's already known that we're in the global world, and this is the connected world in each and every way, and mutual influence, and only man is like a cancer in this general body, causing this whole body death, that we're destroying nature, we're destroying the ecology and everything that there is. We don't even want to talk about it. We don't even want to open our eyes to these things, the relations between people, etc. If we continue in this manner, then why shouldn't we be inviting on us the next blow? An ecological blow? Not ecological, maybe a world war, atomic world war or something, a nuclear world war. Of course, we're the ones inviting it on ourselves. So I don't understand. We're not learning anything. How can we relate to suffering in a person's life? That's the question, not so much ecology. We need to bless the suffering more than the good. Why? Because it places me in a question. Why is it happening? Not how to escape. It's not even the fact of blessing it. The fact that I'm blessing bad as good makes me stupid. So we shouldn't do that. So you're confusing me. There's lots of advice. I'm confused. I get a blow. What do I need to do? Say Baruch Hashem. Say thank God. No, I have a disaster in my private life. What do I need to do with it? What's the most wisest thing to do to advance in life? To think why it came. Otherwise, I'm not a person. Otherwise, I'm like an animal that is escaping from fire. We can't escape from life in this manner. If I don't learn that I am in the middle of life, in the center of the world, and everything depends on me, and I must truly take it in my hands. And if I just bless, not on my case, it's not just my case that it says to bless the bad with the good. I have to research where and why does this bad come from. Because for me, it's the force directing me toward good. I have to reach balance. I have to reach bestowal. I have to reach love, to connection between everyone. I have to complete nature. I have to correct my evil inclination and in its place bring the good inclination. Because all of nature is love and connection, apart from people. Imagine to yourself, all of the universe, all of nature and everything above it, doesn't matter what, it's all good forces, apart from us. And in us, only in this small area in humanity, there's the evil force. In order for us to complete it with the good force. And then we will have also good and also bad, and then you can bless the bad with the good. And until we don't learn this and don't complete it ourselves, nature will continue and really give us a job suffering. Before I present the solution, I just want to focus on the question. You said, why does it come? And I feel that you're saying, why does it come? As if there's some continuation. It's not why is it coming to me, but why is it coming to us as disasters? Because a person does ask himself, that's exactly the issue. He's like Job. He's a decent citizen. You're saying a person has to see the disaster that he went through personally as some big wave of events that are happening to the in the general level to transform our thinking from looking for the guilt inside of me to look for a place of reason, cause in the general nature? Yes. That's the issue? Yes. So now let's go to the solution. The solution was very interesting. God answers him in a very nice way. Where were you, Job, when I arranged the world? He says it in his words. Where were you? Do you even know how the waves and the seas are? Who put the borders in every situation? Who grew all these things? Did you pay attention to this? And this really connects to the approach that you're conveying. He doesn't want to look at anything except at what he has. So, of course, the blows are continuing. So where were you when I was organizing the world? You need to feel obligated that you're greater than everyone. Then take it in your hands. Where are your hands? Take the reins. You have to manage the world. And the blows won't stop. So in other words, he's coming and saying to him, you don't understand how nature works, so why are you trying to understand what happened to you, what your role is? Exactly. So in this connection, what does a person need to understand? What does he need to learn, Satan or God or both? It's one and the same. It's one and the same. It's two different forms of the same force operating in the world. It's the force of love that is, it's the only thing operating in the world. So all of nature is connected and good, except for that small area that is called humanity, human nature, where there isn't this force on purpose. It's not there on purpose so that we ourselves, consciously, with our abilities, we will bring this force between us, and then we will be as God. We will be as all of nature. Therefore, and then we will be called Adam, man, similar to God, similar to all of nature. And then what will happen to Satan? He'll disappear. There is no Satan. We'll complete him. The fact that he's being revealed in us, this evil inclination, is a lack of love. It's hatred. That it's, that each time we're revealing hatred, it's not hatred itself, but rather the lack of love, lack of consideration, connection, lack of mutual responsibility. If we fill this place, this deficiency, then we'll have all good. That's what Job is saying. Our time is up. Thank you, Rev Lightman. Thank you, Nitzet. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best.